You're listening to Germantown Community Radio, WRLGLP, at 92.9 FM in Northwest Philadelphia. Welcome to Vanessa's Money Hour, where I profile people, programs, resources, and strategies supporting financial security and wealth building. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowe. The show airs every Saturday and Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I welcome your questions, your guest suggestions, and your feedback. You can email those to Vanessa at gtownradio.com. Today, I'm talking with three friends, which is really great. Our topic today is the Valentine Foundation Leadership Fund. That is an annual opportunity for women to get leadership training, and it's really wonderful. And so I've got three guests on the show. Let me make sure they're with us. You know, we're in this remote COVID time. So I've got my guests calling in. Alexandra, are you there? Say hello to the D-Town audience.
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Great. And Robin.
I'm here. Good to see you and meet everybody.
Great. And Sarisa.
Hi, I'm here. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Great. All right. So let's start with getting a little deeper bios on folks, and we'll get an understanding of Valentine Foundation. For those of you who may not have heard me talk about Valentine in the past, we did a show about this round last year, and I've also mentioned it in terms of my work around working with foundations and endowments. Let's start with Alexandra, the executive director. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the Valentine Foundation, Alexandra.
So I'm Alexandra Frazier. I'm the executive director of the Valentine Foundation, which has been in existence for 37 years. We fund programs that promote social change for women and girls. And this past year, we've done a new strategic plan that layers in racial equity as well. So we're really excited to be launching a new phase of the Valentine Foundation in 2022.
Thank you. And Robin, tell us about yourself.
So I was a Valentine trustee in the early 2000s. And I was an early donor to the Valentine Visionary Leadership Fund and was very interested in that fund. But I hadn't been involved directly with Valentine for several years, and I joined the Leadership Fund Committee last year, and I am the chair of the committee this year.
Thank you for taking that on.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Yes, I'm Teresa Jackson. I've been working in the philanthropic nonprofit space for 10 years now, and I just joined the leadership committee in the fall of 2021. So I am the newest here. But I previously participated in a program that was funded by the Valentine Foundation, and I hope to be able to share a little bit about more about my past engagement as we go through.
Great. Thank you all for being here. I'm really excited about this. So let's go back to Alexandra, because let's get an understanding. We always, when we have a foundation, particularly like this one, that's somewhat unique, we want to understand how it got founded. So tell us a little about the founder and what her motivation was for creating a foundation.
So the founder was a woman named Phoebe Valentine, and she was in her 40s. She had inherited a lot of wealth that she kind of squirreled away and didn't pay attention to because it was intimidating to her. And then she was diagnosed with a serious cancer. And she immediately thought, I haven't done any of the things that I really want to do in my life, especially with all this money that I have. And so she gathered together some of her friends and confidants, five women, and they formed the original trustees, and she started a foundation. And they brainstormed the mission, which was women and girls.
All right. And tell us about, so there's two programs that you have, right? So tell us about the general fund. We're going to leave it to Robin to tell us about the Visionary Leadership Fund.
Yeah, we actually have three ways of making an impact with our money. The original is what we did in the beginning, which was making grants of 5% of our total return. We have a foundation has to give 5% away each year. And so that's what we did. And the rest stayed in our endowment, thanks to Phoebe Valentine. And So we did that for a long time until our 25th anniversary. And then we raised another pot of money for leadership development. And so we have a leadership committee that then gives those leadership development grants. And then the third piece, which is something that Vanessa and I have been working on, is mission aligned investing, where we're taking our endowment and aligning it with our mission so that we're getting greater impact for our dollars, and those dollars that we own aren't sitting on the sidelines. So we have three funding sources.
So just before we leave this, let's give, can you tell us when the general grant funding round will be opened in general statistics, how much is available and what the criteria is for that?
Yes, so in 2022, the grant applications, which is it begins with an LOI, opens on June 30th and it closes on August 31st. And our grants are made by the end of November.
Great. And those, generally for the last couple of years, groups have been getting about maybe $10,000. And right now we have a social media coordinator. So you can find us, you can find the Valentine Foundation on Facebook and on Twitter. And there's a posting about both our current and past grantees. And that's where you can stay on top of when the grant round opens. But also, Alexandra, let's give them the website. That's the best source.
Our website is valentinefoundation.org.
Great. All right, let's move to Robin. So tell us, let's get out the key dates in the Visionary Leadership Fund and where we are now, and talk us through how we're going to get to the end of the program.
Thanks. All right. So the Leadership Fund gives a grant once a year, and the application period for applying for that grant is January 14th to March 14th. So you've got a couple months to think about what you want to request money for and who you might want to give leadership development opportunities to. We're going to have two Q&A sessions about this grant on February 8th. One will be at 9 in the morning and the other at 5 in the afternoon. So if people are thinking they might be interested in the grant application, or if they have questions as they've gone through it, that would be a great time for them to check in and meet with us. And we'll hopefully answer your questions. And then we'll award the funding for these leadership grants in May of this year. And people generally have about 18 months to complete their leadership development initiative, whatever that is. So.
Okay, great. Yeah. Over to Teresa, as the new member of the committee that's been working on this and gets to review these grants this time. Give us, so people understand, it's a little unique because it's not like individuals apply, right? So who can apply to this, and what kind of things can they apply for?
That is a great question. So the nonprofit organizations can apply. And so it's nonprofit organizations with paid staff operating in the greater Philadelphia region, whose primary focus is and mission-driven activities serve to benefit women and or girls. The Leadership Fund is seeking to support both current and emerging women leaders and will accept nominations for an individual or group from those eligible organizations. So in line with Valentine's commitment to supporting organizations with the primary focus on improving women and the lives of women and girls in the greater Philadelphia region, applicant organizations must serve at least 70% female, or inclusive of all who identify as female, or have a program that serves 100% of women and girls. If the organization is eligible because it has a program specifically for women or girls, the individual leaders who are being nominated who would benefit from the grant must have an active role within a responsibility for those programs. Just to clarify a little bit more, because there's a lot of details in there. The foundation defines women and girls as including women, trans, and gender expansive individuals. And recognizing the racial leadership gap in local nonprofits, priority will be given to BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and people of color applicants and leadership teams that include BIPOC women. To also clarify on geography, the Greater Philadelphia region refers to the five Southeastern Pennsylvania counties of Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, and Philadelphia, as well as neighboring counties of Camden County in Southern New Jersey and Newcastle County in Delaware. The second half was what they can apply for. So if you meet those eligibility requirements, thinking about the leadership development initiatives, the foundation wants you to determine the best fit for your leaders and organizations, but some examples of strategies and programs and approaches that have been funded in the past include conferences and or workshops that are part of a larger leadership development strategy, consulting services, and there are some examples on the Valentine Foundation website, training or coaching that either brought in-house or provided externally, courses or certificates offered by local colleges and universities that are directly related to building leadership capacity and characteristics, not merely about content or field knowledge. And then there are some institutes as well that participants have used in the past. So the National African American Women's Leadership Institute, the Nonprofit Executive Leadership Institute at Bryn Mawr College, the NELLI program, which has certificates for executive leaders and ascending leaders, the Nonprofit Center at LaSalle University, Leadership Philadelphia, executive programs at the Center for Social Impact Strategy at the University of Pennsylvania. So there are some of the programs, some of the initiatives that have been funded in the past, but just remember that they're examples and are not intended to limit the thinking about the best ways to achieve the unique leadership development of the proposed leader or emerging leader at the organizations.
Okay. That's quite a list. So there's a lot of specific examples. I hope we have people listening to the show right now who might be thinking of applying. So I know we're all eager to get up and go out to conferences. So find a really great conference to go out to. So Robin, you're the new chair of the Visionary Leadership Fund Committee. So what's changed about the application over the years, but particularly say if people applied last year, what's different about it this year that they should be aware of?
So we did several things this year, and we had five main goals with the application this year. The application, we've always reviewed the application on an annual basis, and we've made changes over the course of time, leveraging technology in different ways, thinking about how do we understand the ways of closing the racial equity gaps and so on. But this year, we had several main goals. And the first one was simplifying the application. So last year's application was getting at the information we wanted, but not necessarily in the easiest way for the applicants to complete it, nor frankly for the committee members to evaluate it. So one of the first things we did was add eligibility screening under simplifying. And so if you are interested in our grant and you are not in a greater Philadelphia area, one of our eligibility questions is going to knock you out at that point. It's going to just ask, are you here, you know, in our greater Philadelphia area or not? Because last year we had an applicant from South Carolina and other places where that's not really the people we're looking to fund. So eligibility happens first. If the organization qualifies through eligibility, then we move them on into the application. We also wanted, under simplification, to refrain from asking the applicants to supply information that we can gather elsewhere. So perhaps on their website or at a database called GuideStar, which lists information about nonprofits. So in that sense, we are trying to make it easier for our applicants. And we really wanted to focus the questions on the information that we really need in order to make our decisions. The second thing we wanted to do was personalize the application more. So we want to ask applicants in their own words to describe why they're seeking a grant for leadership development, why now, why these particular individuals, and how this initiative or the development of those individuals in their organization will help their organization grow and succeed. And we also wanted the individuals who are being nominated, which we're calling the nominees at this point, to tell us in their own words how this grant or this leadership development initiative will benefit them. And again, why now and for what goals and so on. And the other part of personalizing the application is an increase in confidentiality. So in previous versions of the application, the organization person who was completing the grant application would also then have to go to the nominee and say, I need you to write a personal statement why you're appropriate for this grant. And then the organization person would be coordinating and gathering all of that information and going after those bits of information from the nominees. So this year, because we could leverage a different part of our software, the person who is the applicant, the person who's actually applying on behalf of the organization, completes one section of the application. And then the nominee, the individuals who are going to attend, hopefully the leadership initiative, complete a separate section. And those two individuals don't see each other's sections. We, of course, see both. So in the individual section, because we want to try to close racial equity gaps, but also appeal to grants for gender expansive people or transgender people, we wanted people to self-identify for us. So we didn't give them a checklist that said, you know, are you this race or this ethnicity or this orientation? We just asked them to self-identify and gave them some examples. And we also are collecting their pronouns. And also this year we're collecting, actually this started a year or two ago, but we are collecting not only their work emails, but also their personal emails and contact information with the hope that, assuming they're successful in this grant application, we can follow them not just through their grant, but through a good chunk of the rest of their career. Almost done with this question. So we also wanted to engage our committee members more than we have in the past. So we're wanting to connect our committee members with the potential grantees, both when they are applying and then all the way through if they're successful. And in order to do that, some of the questions we've asked are more narrative-based than they might have been in the past, so that we get to know our prospective grantees a little better. And lastly, we want to increase the number of grant applications that we receive. So the Leadership Fund has about $40,000 each year to give away. And unfortunately, we haven't always reached that amount. We just haven't had enough people asking for money who qualified given our criteria. So that was another reason to make the application a little more accessible, we hope, maybe a little more engaging and interesting for them to respond to.
Great, great. And tell us, so I noticed, I think Teresa talked about you are prioritizing women of color, BIPOC, whatever the best language is, right? And it changes depending on the day. But so how are you reaching out particularly to get women of color to access this opportunity?
Yeah, so we have a few challenges in that because we, you know, you can't just throw out the application to every woman of color and hope one of them is the right applicant for this purpose or the organization for this purpose. So you mentioned earlier that we now have a social media person on staff. And so posts are happening in Facebook and Twitter. There's a brand new Valentine newsletter, which highlights a number of our grantees and the work that they are doing and former grantees, but also hopefully will stimulate people to think about whether this is appropriate for them to apply for a leadership grant at an appropriate time and for appropriate people. We're also asking all of our committee members and our trustees and so on to publicize the grant application to their own local networks. So for example, I posted information about it on my LinkedIn page. You know, I don't know how many followers I have on LinkedIn, but I made it a public posting and hashtagged it for grant opportunities. So perhaps that will help us in the future. And basically we have more of a long-term strategy of how we're going to get the word out to women of color, which is that we want to engage more with our grantees and our applicants. And so even if they're not appropriate right now, or when they go to the Q&A session, they realize that this might not be the right time for them, at least we'll have introduced them to the whole concept of the Leadership Fund and then can start building our applicant pool over time. And lastly, something like this radio program, we're hoping will appeal to people. Because for me, at least, I want not just the organization to think about applying, but I would like the women who work in nonprofit organizations, especially our aspiring leaders, the younger women who maybe are not in leadership roles at the moment, to maybe hear us or see something on Facebook or Twitter and say, huh, how do I get into this leadership program? And can I go to my supervisor or someone else in my organization and say, hey, I'd really like to do this. Can you partner with me to submit a grant so that I can maybe develop myself better?
Yeah. How things change. We have this social media coordinator now. She's doing the postings, but also we had our first newsletter, which was really great. And so Alexandra, if they go to the website, can they sign up for the newsletter, or should we give out an email where they, let's say somebody's listening who wants to be getting that newsletter and stay in touch with us?
Yes, the best way to get in touch with us is through our email info@valentinefoundation.org. And if you email us, then we can take your email and go ahead and get you on the list for our new newsletter.
Great. Thanks for that. All right, we're going to go back to Teresa, because Teresa was involved in a leadership development program that was funded by Valentine Foundation. It didn't come from the leadership program, but let me just turn it over to Teresa and talk about that program as somebody who's actually been through a leadership development program.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny because it wasn't through this program, but I feel like it aligns so well. And I think that that's just a great thing about the intention and commitment of the Valentine Foundation, as that through line through all of the programs. So in 2015 and 2016, I participated in 2 years in a program called Women of Equity, which was a free peer leadership development initiative developed by women of color for women of color in the nonprofit sector. At the time, Women of Equity was a program of Bread and Roses Community Fund and was supported by the Valentine Foundation. It was designed as a place to create a safe space to further invest in women of color leaders, nonprofit leaders in the region. And it was recognizing that women of color were holding more leadership positions in the nonprofit sector and were taking on a lot of the work and change initiatives around equity in the sector and equity in the region, but also noted that the road to leadership and the leadership roles and work can often be difficult to navigate, especially for women of color emerging in the sector, and that locally there were very few supports and capacity building services for those leaders who were taking on the work. So the Valentine Foundation provided funding for this initiative at Bread and Roses, as I said, and then they created an application process for folks to apply for the Women of Equity program. And some of the things that I think that were really unique about what was happening at that time, and especially in like 2015, 2016, was that it was this dual thing of looking at professional resources and being able to provide tips and strategies to be able to think about navigating leadership challenges, but was also creating spaces to provide peer support, to think about and focus on self-care, and to just overall think about various ways to strengthen the capacity of the leaders, their capacity and resilience to be forces for change in the nonprofit sector, and to really just not burn out when navigating the path of leadership coupled with navigating trying to advance equity initiatives.
Yeah.
That's a little bit about what I was doing. Yeah.
You went through that, you said 2015, 2016?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and how what you're doing now may have been impacted by the program you went through.
Right, so now I work as, at the time that I was participating in the program, I was working for Philanthropy Network Greater Philadelphia, a membership association for philanthropic institutions in the Greater Philadelphia region. And part of the work that I was doing there was around supporting the organization's diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative and work. And so in 2019, I started working, I transitioned from working at Philanthropy Network to now serving as the manager for the Seibert Foundation, which is a small private foundation that focuses on serving, that focuses on providing funding to nonprofit organizations that focus on children and youth in Philadelphia. And so I think that a lot of it was just, a lot of what I learned through participation in that program was just was a lot of the pieces around just sort of confidence, navigating the desire to be able to think about roles and growth, really leaning into to finding my voice and thinking about ways of sort of taking up space as a younger, emerging woman of color in the space, and also someone who was first generation of college. So there was just like a lot of things that I was navigating in my career. And so just having that sort of support, that supportive space, the network that was touching on both the kind of professional and personal pieces was just incredible and really spearheaded a lot of growth for me.
Yeah, every time I hear about that program, last year when we did the interview for this program, Arthi, I'm going to kill her last name, but Arthi, who had gone through, actually, she was the leading, was Arthi leading that program when you went through it, Teresa?
In the first year, Arthi was leading it. And then in the second year, the program had outsourced with a consultant, Amity Braxton with Dragonfly Partners. But in that first year, it was developed by Arthi, Ramana Lee Akiyama, and Aisha Miller. I think that they're the three who sort of came together and brainstormed this and saw the need and had the vision to develop this and put it together and present it to Valentine.
Yeah. And what's the status of that program now? You know?
I think that I don't actually know. I know it carried on for a few years. It moved from Bread and Roses, and someone who had participated in the program afterwards ended up taking it on and taking it. They ended up moving into a space of co-facilitating it. And I know it went on for a few more years, and I'm not sure if it still exists or if it is one of the, so it's like on pause because of the pandemic or.
Right.
It was one of those things that was also really hard because I joined in a pilot year and then I stayed for a second year and I wanted to keep staying in it, but I really need to create space for others because it was really powerful and impactful. But I'm not entirely sure if it's still.
Yeah. Well, and I bet there were a lot of people who wanted to get into it because there's just such a need. I spent 9 years in the nonprofit sector before going to graduate school and then sort of changing course a little bit. But I remember sort of, you know, this one of the issues we've talked about in thinking of changes to the Leadership Fund. I've shared how in working in the nonprofit sector, I think I didn't see myself as necessarily a leader because I didn't see myself like taking over that entity. And a lot of it may have been, you know, internalized racism, just perceptions of not being, you know, sort of thought of as a leader and stuff like that. So I think that's something that's common, particularly among women of color, both in the for-profit and nonprofit sector. So I think programs like that are so important. So I've seen one, actually it's come across my feed on LinkedIn a couple of times, but I think it's out in San Francisco, but it sounds very similar, you know, sort of leadership and peer support for Black women in the nonprofit sector. So I'm hoping we can maybe find another one of those or reinvigorate the one that Valentine funded. And we funded them. Alexandra just did the research and we funded them for 5 years. So if you, like, let me just put it out there. If you went through that program, we'd love to hear from you, actually. So please email us at info@valentinefoundation.org. We're still trying to fill our, I think in the old days, we had collected the contact information for the nonprofit person who had submitted the application, but we didn't necessarily have the contact information for the person who went through the programs. So we would love to reconnect you all, particularly since now we've got this social media person who's helping us to do that. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you for sharing your story and thank you for your leadership in the nonprofit sector.
Thank you.
All right, so now let's dig into the application a little bit, because there are some particular questions in the application that I think potential applicants are going to be like, why are you asking that? Or how does that relate to what we're doing? So, and this is, you know, this is a discussion with all of us, but there's one on collecting the racial and gender demographics of the leaders. Why are we asking that, Robin?
We're asking it for a couple of reasons. And one is because we are interested in funding women of who are Black or Indigenous or of color. And we also are interested as we try to become more conscious, aware, better grant makers. We're hoping to encourage the organizations that we work with to have their leaders be representative of the communities that they serve. So, you know, not every organization and our Leadership Fund potentially included, do represent everybody or every type of person in the community that they serve. But if they are making an effort to do that, we would like to know that. And that helps them think about it maybe differently if they haven't thought about it that way up until this point. And it also would give us information about where that organization is headed. So we ask them, does the leadership of their organization, is it reflective of the diversity of the community that you serve? And if yes, how? And if no, what proactive steps are you taking to become more reflective of the diversity of your community? So that's why we ask that question.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm actually working on a project right now where I'm reviewing applications that the funding came through an African-American association for CDFIs. And the money is supposed to be targeted to serving the African-American and other people of color community and women. And so one of the things I'm looking at is, because this is what I always do, I go to the website and I see, well, what does the leadership look like, right? And so if, you know, we're distributing funds to support people of color and we don't see any people of color on, and that's the thing, these days you can't make any assumptions, but if there is nobody who seems to fit that category on the site, that's a little concerning. Anyway, I thank you for making sure we're asking that question. If for no other reason, just to raise awareness, right?
Right.
Then let's talk about, and I think Teresa covered a little bit, but it's worth talking about again. So the applicant organization needs to have a specific qualifying program. Talk to us a little bit about that. Give us examples there and what that means.
Right. So, you know, there are some organizations whose sole mission is to improve the lives of women and girls or women or girls. And that's terrific. And those organizations, if they're in the greater Philadelphia region, automatically qualify for our grants. But there's other organizations, and it might be a community organization, it might be a health type organization, who have a program that meets the needs of women or specifically females. So we're asking that that program serve at least 70% females, or that they have a program that serves 100% women and girls. And the definition of female or the definition of women and girls is the same that we're using overall, which is if you define yourself in that way, then you qualify. So so we want to be careful that we don't end up giving money to an organization who yesterday didn't have a program that had anything to do with women or specifically with women, but created that program so they could get grant money or so that they could give someone in their organization a leadership opportunity. So we want to be sure that if they do have a program, that it's intended for the types of people that we really want to raise as leaders.
Got it. We're going to take just a check-in break here because some people may have just joined us. But the next thing I want to talk about is let's hear some examples of organizations that have qualified and the things they got funded for. So you all think about that and do the check-in. Hey there, you're listening to Germantown Community Radio, WRLGLP at 92.9 FM in Northwest Philadelphia. This is Vanessa's Money Hour. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowe. And today we're talking to with three folks from the Valentine Foundation about the Visionary Leadership Fund. The application round is open now. Rob, please repeat the key milestones, the dates for the info session and applying and deadlines.
Great. We're back to programs that have or organizations that have programs for women, yeah?
I'm sorry, Robin, I was asking you to repeat the deadlines.
I'm sorry. So the deadlines, the grant application period is open now and it's open until March 14th of 2022. We have a Q&A session on February 8th at two different times, one from 9 in the morning to 10 and one from 5 until 6. And we also would be happy to answer your questions if you send them to us by email, which would be at info@valentinefoundation.org. If you're wondering if your grant, if you're appropriate for a grant or if your organization is appropriate for a grant, we would love to hear from you.
Great. All right, let's get some examples going. Let's talk a little about Alexandra. You've been around for a long time with us. And so tell us about some of the groups that have gotten several grants. So that clearly, they've been hitting the ball every year in terms of meeting the criteria and really doing what we want them to do.
Are you talking about the general foundation or the leadership?
No, we're talking about the leadership program.
Okay.
So I heard that there is the Greater Philadelphia Women's, it's actually the name has changed. What is the Greater Philadelphia Women's Medical Fund? Does anybody remember what the new name is?
Mm.
Very interesting and expansive new name. But I think they were funded to do training for the leadership around, the word was somatic something, right? Alexandra?
Yeah, so the Women's Medical Fund, which does have a new name, we have funded them several times for actually the same leader to do different kinds of training. And then I think another leader within the organization, an emerging leader, has done some training. And I do remember the Maternity Care Coalition. I think Maternity Care got more than one grant. And there have been organizations that we'd like to be able to give these grants to our grantees. And so if you know, we tend to send out the information to them and encourage them to look into their group of people that are working for them and see if they have anybody that's eligible for the leadership training. So an organization that's serving women and girls in the Greater Philadelphia area is definitely on our radar, and hopefully we're on their radar to come to for funding to expand their leadership.
There you go.
It looks like the new name is Abortion Liberation Fund of Pennsylvania. I felt like I needed to like ace the pop quiz there, so I just wanted to jump
in. I'm glad
in.
You did, but tell us the name again slowly.
Abortion Liberation Fund of Pennsylvania.
There you go. Yeah, that's a pretty powerful name.
The other thing I just wanted to note was just that going back to the Valentine Foundation website, there is a great list broken out by year of all of the past grantees for both the fund and for both general funding, but also for the leadership fund. And so I think that it also is a great way to be able to see the types of projects that were funded, the things that were funded for that supported individual leaders or a cohort of leaders within an organization. And some of a longer list of the kind of the types of, or more specific examples of the types of leadership initiatives that were developed. So I would just recommend everyone go back to the Valentine Foundation website.
Yeah, I found my latest newsletter, so I'm gonna list a couple. So Girls Rock Philly, the executive team had a training in nonviolent communication. We funded that. I think this is this is an older report. This is 2018 report. Let's see, the Women's Medical Fund, coaching for the new executive director. So coaching, that's a really great opportunity, particularly for somebody who might be a new executive director. And then, so we've got several that fall under Nelly. So let's take a break from the application questions, because I want people to understand we have these two partners, Nelly and the Nonprofit Center. Robin, you want to tell us about Nelly? Or who wants to cover that?
Yeah, I'll jump in, and Alexandra, you might be able to fill in some of my gaps. But so Nelly is a program sponsored by or through Bryn Mawr College. It was set up actually about 15 or 16 years ago, I think, at this point. And it's the Nonprofit Executive Leadership Institute. And so it's a solid program that helps not just women, but women in particular to develop leadership skills. They become part of a leadership cohort where they can learn from each other. And Valentine has been supporting that organization and funding people to attend that program since the Leadership Fund was founded, in fact, since before the Leadership Fund was founded. So that's a great program. I believe they did go virtual last year for a while. So that's one place that we partner with. And if they, Alexander, please.
And our Leadership Fund has funded them in two different ways. Sometimes an organization will identify the person that wants the leadership training, and they select Nelly. And sometimes Valentine has given, or that we've interacted with the Nelly leadership. And when they have an applicant who comes to them, they direct those applicants to us for funding. So we're working kind of in partnership to try to get as much funding to people who want to take that program as we can.
Great. And then the other one is the LaSalle's nonprofit. And I get the name wrong, so yes. Somebody tell us about that one.
Right. So LaSalle has a nonprofit leadership or nonprofit center, which helps people learn how to manage nonprofit organizations and build capacity in nonprofit organizations in general. And so we have sent people there for leadership development. And we also worked with them to create something called a peer circle, which was that we funded the establishment of a network of women who were working in nonprofits and wanted to learn from each other. And so we've done that for a couple of years as well. So it's, again, we've similar to Nelly, we've funded people to go to LaSalle to benefit from their learning. And we've also helped LaSalle create this peer circle for leaders. And by the way, I want to go back for a second to programs that are organizations that aren't specifically geared toward women and girls, but have women and girl programs. And I think one of those was the Urban Tree Coalition, which is a group we funded last year. We funded four women leaders to attend leadership development or have a consultant come in. So the Urban Tree Coalition is based in West Philadelphia. They are not specifically an organization to do agricultural work with women, but so many of their community leaders who are in fact bringing their communities into the Urban Tree Coalition and helping to build their gardens and so on are women, that they qualify in that way, even though their overall organization might not have been an obvious choice to apply for us, to ask for a grant. So, and the other fun part, just as an aside for us as a committee, is to see the variety of grant applications and of leadership activities that people are interested in going for. So I even just last year, I learned about whole different ways of thinking of leadership because of the types of programs that our applicants were looking to send their employees to. The other part that becomes important is succession planning. And I know that that's a big issue for every organization, not just nonprofits. But if you have a longtime founder or someone who's been your executive for a long time and he or she is planning to rotate off and you need to think about how you're going to replace them or what direction you might want to go in as an organization, that's a good time for a consultant to work with you and we're a good possibility for funding that consultation work.
Yeah. Great, thank you. It's helpful for people to hear specific examples. So thank you for that, particularly the one where it wasn't a women's program, but yet it was funded because they had a significant participation of women who were going to go. I like that. So this follows on this next question I want to talk about. It says, which leadership skills, and again, we're now back to questions that the applying organization is filling in, which leadership skills or characteristics are you hoping to develop in the nominee? So I think y'all give some examples. Let's talk us through, what do y'all mean by leadership? What is that? How do you define that?
Mm-hmm. I asked that question too when I got onto the committee last year. leadership is defined in all sorts of different ways. When we are actually the visionary leadership fund, right? Rather than not just leadership fund. And so our motivation is to try to fund leadership activities rather than management activities. Although places like LaSalle would be very helpful if you need to develop your management skills. And what we meant, and so the leadership characteristics that had been identified for the leadership fund were characteristics that were defined by members of the committee over time. And they reflect things like, we think a leader is someone who demonstrates innovation and entrepreneurial vision. Or we think that a leader is a person who is credible, highly credible, or who demonstrates the capacity to influence others. So these are not, you know, management of another person would be the capacity to manage somebody else, but influencing other people is a different kind of skill, or the capacity to respect their followers and promote their voices and bring their leaders up. So these are a bit more aspirational of characteristics than day to day. But when you think about, and I know we're going to talk about what we mean by aspiring leaders versus executive leaders. So I'll jump into that just a little bit, if that's all right. So aspiring leaders to us are people in our organizations who maybe are not serving in leadership roles. Maybe they're not even a supervisor of anybody at this point, but there's something about them where they have curiosity. They are diligent. They want to, they ask a million questions, you know, they are trying to think bigger than what their current role is. Those are representative of a lot of the characteristics that we've defined in these leadership characteristics. If they share their knowledge, they're exhibiting generosity, for example. And so what we want our organizations to do is to look in their organizations a little bit deeper. Maybe it's someone who just came to their organization a year ago. Maybe it's someone who's currently an administrative assistant in an organization, but she really has other strengths and other skills. Maybe she asked one day, you know, couldn't we set this up as a spreadsheet, or don't we have a database for this, or, you know, something else that makes you think, huh, she's thinking a little bit bigger than what I thought I could expect of her. And those are the women who we would love to develop as our aspiring leaders, because they are the future of the nonprofit organizations. They're the future of leadership in general, whether they stay in the nonprofit world or they go into something else. So, yeah. So we'd love our applicants or our prospective applicants to kind of go on a scavenger hunt and find the women in their organizations who are surprising them in different ways, who come from different cultures, who don't dress like everybody else does, who, you know, are creative and engaged and, you know, could not only benefit from leadership, but could really support and grow the organizations in ways that the current leaders might not be able to imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that. I don't know if we have, you know, women nonprofit executive directors on the listening audience right now, but I know that we have lots of women of color who work in nonprofits. I think some of those as key followers. And so this is something that you can go to, you know, www.valentinefoundation.org, pull up that application, mm-hmm. and you know, always think of yourself as a leader, you know, no matter what. I think everybody's a leader, you know, everybody at least has the potential. Right. And so, you know, pull it up, look through it. If you can think of something that I think would really help you develop, then take it to your office. Take it to, you know,
right.
Right. Start with them, right? They're very busy. That's the other thing we learned, I think, when we survey our grantee groups, is like, we just don't have time to do these things. So, you know, they really could use the staff to really sort of be taking the initiative to find opportunities like these.
Right. And that's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really great when you can say, and it's all covered, you know, because they're also very conscious about, we just don't have the money for this. So I think, do some work on that and forward.
Which is actually really where the Visionary Leadership Fund started, was there was a survey of our grantees, and we asked, what is it that you would like to fund, but you don't want to take money from programs or staff salaries and so on. And leadership development became that thing.
I just love that. And I wanted to, Vanessa.
Sorry, go Teresa, go ahead.
I just wanted to chime in to just say that I think that the examples of leadership characteristics was one of the things that I was, that I sort of fell in love with, because it is so diverse and it's not leadership in the way that I think that we typically are taught to think about leadership. I love that it goes from things from innovation and entrepreneurship vision to exhibition of generosity, thinking expansive. I mean, it's so expansive in the way of thinking about leadership. And I appreciate, Vanessa, also your note about that everyone has the potential to be leaders, like everyone can be a leader. And I think that it's just so great seeing this application thinking about, or this fund thinking about leadership so broadly, thinking about leadership initiatives so broadly, and thinking about both looking at aspiring and existing leaders and thinking about just, I feel like it's just so so expansive and unique in thinking about and in thinking about vision. I think that's the vision of visionary leadership. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to highlight that again, that it's not like it's not your traditional way of defining leadership.
Exactly. It's not limiting. Yeah. Speaking of that, actually, so one of the things I think I've raised in the past is like, you know, CEOs, like, you know, like nonprofits, yes, there's an executive director often is the name we have in the nonprofit. But I noticed in the application, there are some sections where you say it could be the CEO or executive director or an advocate. Tell us about that language and where that fits in. What does that mean?
Right. So sometimes your boss is your advocate and really wants you to grow and develop. And sometimes that isn't the case, right? So, but sometimes there's another person in the organization who might be willing to serve as your mentor or your advocate in this way. And so when we created that question, the previous years, the question has been, you know, what's your job title and who do you report to? And, you know, that supervisor is the person who's going to guide you through this leadership initiative. And we realized that that's not always the way things work. So we're not asking, we don't even really ask what their, we do ask what kind of work they're doing, what the nominee's work is. Let me just flip to my page in the application. So we ask what your role is in the organization, but we don't say what's your job or what's your job description, right? So, and especially in nonprofits, their role is often doing 4,000 things, even though their job is called one thing, right? So the advocate is someone who's in the organization, and it might be that we have an aspiring leader who has somehow made a connection with the chief financial officer of the nonprofit. And so she goes to that person to say, I'd like to go for leadership development. Could you be my advocate for this? But the other part of advocacy is that we want to make sure that there's someone in the organization who is looking out for this person and is going to help her succeed and her or they succeed. And so we want to be sure that it's not just that this person that we're giving money on to attend leadership training for is going to go out there and go to a leadership initiative. We want to make sure that whatever our grantee learns, that grantee can bring that back to the organization and help expand the organization. So in order to do that, we needed a commitment from the organization, not just from the grantee. And so that's why we asked for a supervisor or advocate.
So then I may have missed this. Can an advocate be the person who applies on behalf of the organization, or does it need to be an executive director?
Oh, no, whoever the organization chooses to have fill out the grant application is fine with us, right? So
that's the advocate or the executive director.
It could be the executive. Yeah, it could be. In fact, the person who fills out the application could be their development officer. You know, it could be their HR head, whatever they want.
It that could be their board chair, or it could be, doesn't have to be someone who works there.
Okay. Right, right. But the advocate is going to be the person in the organization who makes sure that this person has the chance to succeed, the person who's going to attend the leadership initiative. Is that clear?
So, because what role are you saying then the advocate signs off on something or stays in touch with the foundation about that? Like, what are we expecting the advocate to do?
We just really want their name, I think, and their role, right? And we want them to take responsibility for ensuring the success and support of the grantee. So, and that could be anyone in the organization, but, you know, so often, I mean, I came from the corporate world. So if I went to leadership training, either it's because they sent me or it's because I chose to go. But if I chose to go, it often didn't matter to my boss that I had chosen to go, you know, and it often didn't matter to anybody else. I was, you know, doing this because, I mean, I went and got a master's degree while I was in my corporate
world, and nobody said, hey, we think this would be a really great program for you to go to. And, you know, so we want to make sure, and are also because our goal is to strengthen not just these emerging leaders, but also to strengthen the nonprofit. So if you, you know, send somebody for a leadership development initiative and then you don't ask, well, what did you learn? Or, you know, now that you did that, how can you help us in another way? Then it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we've got a couple minutes. So let me get some closing words. Actually, let's start with you, Robin, but start with the Visionary Leadership Fund milestones and dates.
Visionary Leadership dates are, please apply now and apply for our grant by March 14th. We then, our committee will meet in April, and we will also connect with you if you're an applicant to ask you some questions and follow up and answer any questions that you have. And then we make our grants in May. And so when we say we make our grants in May, we mean that the board of Valentine Foundation actually agrees to the grants that we've recommended as the committee, and a check gets sent to you pretty quickly soon after.
You have an information call. Tell us about that.
We have information calls on February 8th at 9 in the morning and at 5 in the afternoon. If you would like to attend, please go to info@valentinefoundation.org, and we will send you information from there.
Great. Thank you. Alexandra, any closing thoughts?
I just wanted to clarify that if you send an email to info@valentinefoundation.org, we will send you a link to the Zoom meeting, and hopefully you'll attend for that hour and your questions will be answered about filling in the application.
Yeah, I really encourage folks to do the information calls. We have them both for the general round and also for the Visionary Leadership Fund. And it's really great because you can call and say, well, I'm thinking about applying for such and such, and you'll get feedback from the folks who are running it, like Teresa and Robin. Mm-hmm. And Teresa, any closing words? As somebody who's been through funding a Valentine-funded leadership program.
Right. So I would, you know, echo Alexandra and Robin and saying, you know, please attend an info session. Remember, it's on February 8th. And I'd also, you know, I hope that there will be some interest in applying. I think it's a really unique opportunity. It's still quite rare to find funding opportunities that support leadership. And the Visionary Leadership Fund is not only unique in doing just that, but it's also special because of the freedom afforded to applicants to identify the opportunities to best support your leadership. And so the information session will be a great place to talk about that and to learn more about the alignment of what you're thinking with the possibility of receiving funding. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, friends. Thank you so much for joining me today. You've been listening to Germantown Community Radio, WRLGLP, at 92.9 FM in Northwest Philadelphia. This has been Vanessa's Money Hour, and my guests today have been talking about the Valentine Foundation Visionary Leadership Fund. Check it out and apply. Go out and have a great day.
Hey there, folks. It's Vanessa of Vanessa's Money Hour. Tax filing season is here. You know I love VITA, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. They started filing on January 29th. And the message is from the IRS that the earlier you file, the better this year, because they're going to have a bit of a backlog. You can file your taxes for free through this IRS-sponsored Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program by logging on to cwfphilly.org. There you can sign up. If you meet the income guidelines, you'll make an appointment for on-site service or use the online interface to load your documents and get help filing online from the comfort of your own home. They've gotten sophisticated in this pandemic, which is really wonderful. Again, log on at cwfphilly.org to file your taxes for free. Take care.